In the gold prayer book, please turn to page 34. And if you have the white binder, rather than the gold prayer book, please turn to the first page titled Kadampa Center Prayers. And we'll begin by chanting Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Te ata om mune maha munaye soha. Te ata om mune maha munaye soha. Te ata om mune maha munaye soha. And our medicine Buddha's stanza and mantra are on the blue sheet in the white binder. Bhagavan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha Lapisai. So let's chant the Medicine Buddha mantra seven times.
Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Te ata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha.
Now the four measurables in English three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies.
Now turn to page 37, and let's chant the mantras at the bottom of the page. Chen Reizig is the Buddha of Great Compassion, and Green Tara is the deity of enlightened activity. So we'll do Chen Reizig's mantra eight times, and then Green Tara's mantra seven times.
Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
The children are free to go to their classes?
Would you mind taking maybe 1 minute to introduce to yourself to each other, please? Sir.
How are you?
Oh, very good.
I want to learn more.
Oh. Hello, Anisha. How are you?
I meant to give you this last
week.
Oh,
thank you, thank you.
But I had to leave by 12:10 to pick up my mother.
Oh.
So I didn't have a chance to give you this.
Thank you.
Welcome back home.
Thank you so much. I remember you gave me a squirrel house.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, something you gave me a long time ago.
Yes, I gave you the squirrel house.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember.
Something else. It's
thank you.
I know. I know.
Finish? Yeah, very good. I'm reading this, the benefits, money, so probably most of you know this mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, this is the mantra of compassion. So here, you know, there's the wheel that I turn, so it has like millions of mantra inside, so when you turn this clockwise, then you are supposed to visualize the light emitted, light emitted, you are supposed to visualize. And out of positive mindset, you have to benefit, what's the definition of sentient beings? Sentient being. Huh?
Mind.
Oh, mind possessor. So you set up, you know, positive intention, positive motivations. So then you turn this, you know, that this is called prayer will. You know, there's prayer flag, there's prayer will, and there's no. There's two different types of prayer flags. One that you put on pause, kind of standing. One you hang. And one here, you know, you put inside, then you turn. Out of, you know, positive intentions, the intentions to benefit, you know, sentient beings, you know, like mind. Whoever possess mind, you know, you just want to benefit all of them, not just one particular group. So you want to just want to, you have to, you develop the positive intentions to benefit all those who possess mind. Doesn't matter, American, Tibetan, you know, Buddhist, not Buddhist, atheist, believer, not believer, doesn't matter. Whoever possess mind, you just want to benefit them. Why? Because they, whoever has mind, they have feelings. The feeling is not always, you know, something pleasant. You know, all kinds of feelings, unpleasant, pleasant, neutrals. So that's why, you know, their life is not completely free from problems. That means mind possessor does have problems. So therefore, you set up positive intentions to benefit them, then you just turn the farewell clockwise, then visualize that light, or you could say energy in the form of light radiates from the wheels. Then that just visualize that whatever the energy that's been, the very energy that you're visualizing irradiating from the prayer well. So the minute you touch the other beings, then, you know, liberate them from problems. That's the kind of, you know, mindset. Then you turn, so then you get a lot of benefit. So this is all about how to develop compassion. Now this called six-syllable mantra is to help us to develop compassion. last month when I was in California, somebody who's been around with Buddhism long period of time. So we had tea, so then some kind of casual conversations. Discussion, you know, like then I would like discussion about how many people come to Kadamba Center. I said, many people. Sunday we have like 100 and like sometime, you know, 120. And there's only like 20, 15 people. So Kadamba Center, we have more people than any other center, FMD center in the United States, I think. So, maybe they are teaching the real Dharma, so I'm not really teaching the real Dharma. So anyway, so then she said, you know, like, of course there, in Buddhism there's so much to learn. You know, when you look at up here, this all the books written, you know, there's like probably 300 plus, then you know, all the books from Lama Tsongkhapa and his two students, there's like 18 volumes, 18 books. Besides, there's all, that, you know, like 100 something that taught directly by Buddha, so then there's like 200 something, all this commentary written by Indian masters. So there's like, all together, there's 313 volumes of books. You know, there's so much to learn. So anyway, she mentioned that, you know, people in America have no, does not have time. Is that true? Does not have time to study. Is that true? Or maybe it does not have patience to learn. Something, I'm not sure what it is. So, you know, then, yeah, because you are my friend, I don't mind to share conversation with you. I don't mind to share because I consider you are my friend, you know, so, you know, within Tibetan Buddhism, there's like Sakya, Nyingma, Gelug, Kagyu. There's four different traditions within Tibetan Buddhism. So Gelug traditions, you know, then we are just talking about, you know, like, which tradition is doing better in terms of... not really Dharma talk, but which one is doing better in the West? Which tradition is doing better in the West? In terms of number of centers, and like the size of the building, so on and so forth. Gelugpa comes in the last. Not sure, but you know that's what she said. I'm not sure, so I usually don't do research on that. So then she said, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa tradition is all about study. Study, you know, there are like so many things to study. You know, study maybe like then slowly people just leave because their head is kind of spinning out. Other tradition, therefore, teach very simple things. Meditations. So anyway, so... either have no patience or maybe no time. One way or another. So now question is... so I've been thinking this morning, you know, so this six-syllable mantras, very powerful. And I have texts, like this thick, like traditional texts, probably has like more than 1,000 pages. So far I only read 20 pages out of 1,000. So it's been sitting there now almost 4 years. So I open and then read only 24 pages, something like that. So that text is composed by one of the Tibetan kings, not monk, one of the Tibetan kings. He wrote the text. Or maybe he talked about the text. So it's all about this six-syllable mantra, benefit of a six-syllable mantra. So you wonder now, like, what to write? There's only six syllables, about 1,000 pages, you know, like, not like Western, like, book, but like traditional text, back and forth. Each has probably like lines, like probably 12 lines. Yeah, so this is a traditional text. So it does not have like index. It doesn't have index. Oh. So frog and the cat doing prostration to you. That's their first prostration. So this text, you know, there's no index. So you know, here the now it's very easy to read because everything has like line, says where to look, which page in there. There's no index. All these texts have no index. So
page numbers either, right,
Geshe-la? It does have page numbers. So otherwise, you know, then you'll probably get lost. So it does have page numbers, but it doesn't have index. If you want to find something, if you remember something, then maybe you get lucky. Otherwise, you have to read. In order to find, you have to read all page. So there's no index. So now, many of them put in a book form. Probably easy to read. You know, this one, this is very difficult to travel. Can you imagine, like, can't bend. You can't bend. So now, you know, that makes it very easy. So anyway, there's like 1,000 something page just talking about the benefit of, you know, this six-syllable mantra. So now I think this is very suitable practice if you don't have time to study, if you don't have patience to study. I think this is very good. You know, six syllables to learn, Om Mani Padme, very easy to say. Then maybe someday the center, you know, down the road, center probably needs to think to build big one. You know, so California, Land of Medicine Buddha, they have very big prayer wells that people can turn. And it's good for the kids, you know, so it makes some kind of noise thing each time when they go. So they get excited, they go around, so they get a lot of benefit, not just them, you know. So also need to think how to help them without saying too many words. You know, for the kids, you know, they probably have not much patience either. So to sit down and listen. So then, you know, tuning the well, so much benefit. So anyway, today I thought, maybe like based on this six-syllable mantra which helps us to develop compassion, which is the source of your happiness. Compassion heals you and heals everybody around you, heals or get also receive benefit, you know, benefit that people feel safe when you develop compassion, when you have so much compassion and people around you feel safe. So this is very much needed in 21st centuries, very much needed all over the world, you know, the feeling of insecurity, feeling unsafe, you know, people need to, I think, in order to have better world, then everybody, you know, needs to understand the benefit. Needs to understand the benefit. Need to understand the benefit. If you don't understand the benefit, then there will be no interest. If there's no interest, then you will not put effort. If you don't put any effort, so then there will be no result. So anything, you know, first you have to have interest. First you have to have knowledge about the benefit. If you don't have knowledge about the benefit, so then, you know, there will be no interest. If there's no interest, there will be no effort. If there's no effort, then you cannot talk about joyful effort. So then there will be no result. So now first and foremost, what is the benefit of compassion? What is the benefit of compassion? Koninje, karuna. Sanskrit for karuna, Tibetan is called ninja. What is the benefit of ninja? Ninja. What is the difference between pity and ninja, compassion? What is the difference between pity and compassion? What is the difference? What is the difference between pity and compassion? Yeah, what's the difference between pity and compassion?
In my view, the difference between pity and compassion is that I think that often when you have pity, you're putting yourself a little higher than the
person or being that you feel sorry for. So you think, oh, I'm better than this poor person or creature. But compassion, in my view,
then
is
then
more
what do you
equal.
Do? When you, what do you do?
Pity.
How you say, if you pity on somebody?
When you take pity on somebody or something.
Then what will be the actions? What will be the actions?
It's more of a feeling. You might act or not act, but the feeling of pity is when you feel sorry for another being, but there's a little bit of an attitude of you're better than that being, whereas compassion, you feel empathy for that other being, but it's more equal.
When you feel sorry for somebody.
Yes, you feel sorry
you say,
for.
I pity.
When you say I take pity on that poor homeless person, it is in my view. I don't know if everybody feels this way, but in my view, when you say I take pity on the homeless person. I'm a little better than that homeless person. Mm. You know,
what's the difference between pity and also feel sorry?
But
same thing.
I think that having pity and feeling sorry might be almost equal,
same
but
thing.
Having compassion for, in my view, puts us more equal. You know, I understand that person's suffering, and you know I could also have that suffering. You know, it's more equal. Mm. That's just my view.
Mm. What do you think?
I think pity is also not a call to action. Compassion feels more like a call to action. Pity is a feeling, just oh, but compassion feels like you want to do something for them. Who else?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Again, I see pity and sorrow being an intellectual exercise, and compassion comes from the heart.
Mm. So what is the pity come from where? Oh. That's interesting. Pity come from here, compassion come from here. Yeah.
So when I feel pity, I tend to take a lot of crazy actions and rescue people against their will. So I get real involved in their life when I feel pity for someone, and it's really inappropriate. it's not helpful. So that's my experience with pity. I'm trying to get away from that.
Hmm. The reason I'm asking this in Tibetan word, when you say "inje," that doesn't have negative connotations. When you say "inje," it doesn't mean that you are better than that person. You simply want to help that person to overcome from difficulty that person is going through. Then you are thinking, what can be done? Maybe give something or say something. That's when you say ninja, no, it's like ninja does not have this kind of like meaning that I'm better than you. So that's why I'm asking you a question, you know, in English. I have compassion, I pity on you, but maybe it looks like pity has negative connotations. So then, you know, because it helps Tibet, who's like speaking Tibetan, you know, like the Tibetan speaking people, it helps them to not to mix the way you say in Tibetan and when you say in English has different meaning. Even though in Tibetan it sounds like same meaning, it doesn't mean the same thing. You know, in English it has negative connotations. Huh?
Yeah, I think pity, there's a separateness between you and that person.
Mm.
And compassion, you're identifying in your similarities. You know, that you're both human, you both experience the same emotions, and it's a connecting, it's seeing yourself in the other person and the humanity in the other person, whereas pitying it separates you from the person. Mm-hmm. Even if they may have the same result, because I might pity something mm-hmm. and try to help them out of pity, like noblesse oblige, you know, where the rich are trying to help the poor out of a sense of obligation or duty, but compassion, it's coming, like somebody else said, from the heart, mm-hmm. where you are helping a fellow human being because you're recognizing that all humans share the same condition, mm-hmm. you know, that we all could be in that place.
So. Very good, yeah. So you give them all once more.
I was just thinking, when you think of pity, you think of someone in a sad state that's really in trouble or poor or in danger, but you don't really use the word pity when someone is mad at you or doing something else. Like someone can be doing something awful just because they don't know any better and they're trying to be happy, and I can have compassion for that person, even though I don't really, it's not the same as pity. Pity implies some poor little, weak mm-hmm. little thing, but I mean, I can have compassion for our president. I do not pity him, but I know that he's going to pay for a lot of things with his karma, and that he doesn't know any better because he just doesn't know the right way. And that's with anyone else that does anything mean or wrong like that. I can have compassion for those and learn compassion for those. But, I don't think compassion always implies the person is in a very pathetic kind of state.
Oh, very good, yeah.
I don't know if anyone agrees with that or not. But.
Yeah, Thomas is here.
So a long time ago, before my daughter was born, I had taken a nonviolent communication class, and I don't know if anybody else has done something similar to that, but they talk about when you're showing empathy for somebody, the way you communicate that is just to listen. But if you are pitying somebody, you want to give advice to them, and that always ends up undermining what you're really trying to, your intent is. And so when you're trying to communicate that, you want to be able to be just present with them. And like, I hear what you're saying and that you're going through this without giving any advice. Does that help?
Yeah, very good, yeah. All the people, again. So now, sorry, there's too many questions. Well, they're the best way to have a class, you know, to with Q&A. So now the question is like, how to develop compassion? How to develop? Either through meditations, some form of meditations. What one can do in order to or maybe what kind of knowledge that is required in order to do productive meditation on compassion, or maybe is the meditation is the only way to develop compassion, or maybe there's any other way to develop compassion, how we are going to develop compassion. If we see compassion is something very important to have, and it has it is very beneficial, if we see that the benefit of having a compassion, and compassion is very, very important part of life in order to, in order for your happiness and happiness of other, you know, beings. So now the question is, how to develop? How to develop compassion? How to develop? Definitely it does require some knowledge. Without knowledge, and it's hard to develop compassion. You know, like you have to have some reason. You could say reason or knowledge doesn't matter. How to develop compassion, how to develop compassion. If anybody wants to contribute, so this is not a quiz about compassion. Just no wondering, just wondering, how to develop compassion. So then after that, I will talk a little bit about, like, maybe some kind of meditations, on this compassion mantra, maybe some kind of meditation on this compassion mantra. Anybody want to contribute? Yeah. How to develop compassion, yeah?
For me, really understanding where someone's coming from, even if they're angry or yelling at me, if I understand someone's hurting and I understand their motivation, it kind of helps me stay calm and feel compassion towards them.
Mm. Very good. That's very good point. Yeah, very good point. Understanding someone's conditions, where they're coming from. So that's not life. That's basic. No, understanding other people's conditions, that's not that easy than saying the word. So that requires some knowledge. So that's a very good point, yeah? Very good.
Geshe-la, I think you're right that the meditation, just on meditation, maybe there's some people who can just meditate on compassion and develop it and have so much compassion that they're able to practice it without pre-practicing it, just from meditating on it. But my greatest tool when I'm trying to develop my own compassion about somebody is actually doing something. I feel like I have to act out off of the cushion, outside of my own mind, and put myself in maybe an uncomfortable position in order to develop those connections that are weak with people whose perspective I don't understand just from thinking about it. I have to experience something that they've experienced, or at least a taste of it. So, like, somebody gets angry at me and yells at me, then I can take that, oh, they totally misunderstood what I was thinking and my intention, and now I understand how somebody else might be angry, because from my side, or, you know, if I get angry at somebody else because I thought their intention was one way, but now I've just experienced somebody taking my intention and twisting it because I didn't communicate it correctly, or, you know, whatever it was, the misunderstanding. So then I can say, approach the person who got angry at me with more compassion because I've been on the other side. And same for, let's say, hunger or any kind of, you know, misrepresentation of anybody, racism, anything that we experience on our day-to-day interactions with people, if I'm able to put myself in those positions. But that comes from, you have to sit on the mat too. You have to know yourself and where you already are in order to be humble enough to put yourself in positions and say, I don't know, show me.
Very good, yeah. Wonderful.
I have an idea.
Well, very good.
My belief about pity and compassion. And for me, pity... Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. For me, the difference... Pity can contain arrogance, for me. Compassion never does. I want to help. I almost have to judge someone before I can pity them. Their situation is so much worse than mine. And I, from moral high ground, I can pity people. But the way that I've learned, only for me, I can develop compassion off the cushion. I have to, there's a place here where people go to die. It's a hospice center, it's a hospital. There are volunteer opportunities there. If I have compassion for people who are, their bodies are going away, I can go there. I can show up there. I can volunteer. There's programs where they will teach me how to be a part of that center, a part of that process, and I can develop compassion that way. But it's not just getting in that highly meditated state. I have to put my hands on life. That's where I can develop compassion with people.
I think that the most important thing that we need to do to be compassionate is to truly, truly put yourself in the position of that one that you're feeling compassion for, or that needs to somebody to feel compassion for. But this is very difficult to do, to put oneself in the position of the other person. Hence the reason why I pity Trump. I cannot feel compassion for this person when I cannot put myself in his position. And this is what I find difficult to do, when you have somebody that you feel that everything that he or she does is truly evil. How do you do that? How do you feel compassion? How can you put yourself in the position of that person in order to be able to be compassionate? This is my dilemma.
I have a question for you, because the gentleman who just spoke about compassion.
I have three things to answer here.
Okay, I'm asking the frog.
Yeah. Frog is looking on the sky.
The gentleman before was talking about, you know, having compassion for people, you know, when we're out in the world doing things. And that's where I find it, you know, where that's easy to practice. It's easy to help someone because you see them and you're out in the world and you're doing, or your friend calls and needs help, or there's any number of ways. But when you're sitting on the cushion, do you just think of compassion in a general, vague sense? Do you think of specific examples? What exactly are you thinking about when you're meditating on compassion? It's one thing to practice about it, but just plain thinking about it, I really don't know how to go about that.
Mm. What do you think?
Oh, that thing? Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, Jill answered my question before you did.
Oh, that's very good.
About thinking of all sentient beings as your mother, and, you know, I've always, each one has been your mother, and they have been your children, and all that. So basically, she's saying that, Jill, are you saying that basically meditating on compassion is just kind of meditating on, like, basically rebirth and the whole consciousness
steps, right?
Thing?
You know, you just go through the steps. All beings have been your mother, how to repay their kindness, and then that leads to, you have to start somewhere. So that's why the teachings say to start with, Trump has been our mother.
Yeah.
And you have to start with, like, if you imagine him as your mother and you just start, maybe just do that for a while.
That actually is a little disturbing to me.
Yeah.
I'm working backwards, but I'm still getting it. I'm getting there.
So
I'm just taking a different route.
You then imagine I've been your mother.
That I can imagine.
And then you just start. You have to start somewhere.
Okay. Thank you.
And you've been his mother.
That's exactly what happened.
As far as he who shall not be named, one way I can perhaps get the compassion for that person is to think about how, if I'm confused, I might do something evil. And when he's confused, his power is such that his evil can really reach out. So perhaps I wouldn't do anything evil, but I think of how confused, I could maybe think of better words, but right now confused covers it. I mean, he must I think of him just reaching for something, tweet this, tweet that, quickly, find a way out without thinking, and how that hurts. You know, when you're at your wit's end and you don't know what to do, I think his whole life is like that. So.
Geshe-la, there was a good article in Tricycle magazine where individual had their personal altar, and they had a picture of, at that point, Obama, who they respected, and a picture of Trump, who they didn't respect, but they were meditating on compassion with the two people that's kind of in everyone's life. And I thought that was a great example of putting a picture of somebody that you don't necessarily like on your altar, where you meditate every day and you try to build up that compassion for that person. I don't know. I think it's tough to do that, but I think it's a good example.
So now,
So I have a question for you. How do you see Trump? How do you develop compassion for Trump? Because I have to learn from somewhere. And what do you do? How do you feel? Like, how
so
do you do this?
We will ask Gijilang Ritapa. So it's the number 4, 8 verses, 4 translations. Mm-hmm. Can you read? We'll ask Gijilang Ritapa. Now he's no longer with us. He's been gone like many centuries ago. Gijilang Ritapa. 8 verses, 4 transformations. 8 verses, 4 transformations. Stanza number 4. So we'll listen what Gijilang Ritapa said.
Page 161.
Not just our presidents. No, not just our presidents. Just see.
Page 162 in the Gold Prayer Book.
Yeah, number 4. Whenever I see beings who are wicked in nature and overwhelmed by violent negative actions and sufferings, I shall hold such rare ones dear as if I had found a precious treasure.
This is not just problem in 21st century. It has been problem throughout the history. It's not just one. So what do you think now? What do you think about that?
Well, I'm sorry, but where is the treasure in Donald Trump? I don't get it. When you read that, when we were reading that.
Yeah, so now, first thing that you have to think about what it does to your mind. When you think about something negative, it doesn't matter, it's not about Donald Trump. Can be anybody going out of their mind, you know, screaming, yelling, what do you do? It's not just Donald Trump. You know, if somebody's like going out of their mind, like screaming, yelling, what do you do? If you scream, yell, you lose your peace of mind. Do you see the point? Do you see the point of this practice? That's taught by Gijilang Ritapa. Rajing, this is not just Donald Trump or President, it could be anybody. So Rajing, this is not just, for you, what's most important? For you, what's most important? Peace of mind? Happiness, peace of mind. So based on that, you need to calculate how you are going to respond in any situations for sake of your own happiness. Like, not, it's not like supporting someone's idea or what they say, what she say, what he say. Sake of your own happiness, what you do. So if you are able to do that, Rajing Yembe Simjenams, Digdo Trabi Netonze. So that's why meditation, if you remember the stanza by heart, then you say every day, and when you think, it becomes meditation. More likely, when you go out, if somebody's like going out of their mind, at least you reserve yourself in order not to participate in their energy that person created. Is all negative. If you just, you know, it's almost like spider web throwing out. If you don't, if you're not careful, you're going to caught in that web, then not easy to get out. So before you caught into the web, you can like fully awake, then you, the first and foremost important thing is your peace of mind. Make sure that you learn how to protect that. If you cannot increase that, but at least how to protect that. So then, you know, when you go out, so then it protects you. Your peace of mind will be protected at the moment. You may avoid that object, maybe go somewhere else, or no. You are very aware. You are very aware and very awake. Then you are not blind, you know. So that's the risk that we, as an individual being, we face all the time. Reading newspaper, watching TV, talking to people, you know, like, it's hard. It's very practical. It's very hard. You know, like, it's very hard. So, therefore, you know, this 8 verses, thought transformations, if you meditate on that, if you review, then the very beginning, dāne simche thamjela, ishin nubha lela, tenjo dhubha samayi, tātu chepa dhumbashus. First one. No, the first one. It doesn't say American people, Tibetan people, white people. Doesn't say. It says every breathing living beings. First one. This every word in this 8 verses thought transformation practice is very, very beneficial. If we can apply in our day-to-day life, then that will change all our perceptions. Life become happier. Life become happier. More flexible, not uptight with something. So that was first stanza, please.
Determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I shall hold them most dear at all times.
Who said? Vishnu said. Man, a long time ago. Now just sit back, think. Just sit back, think, if you can do that, what will happen? Can you imagine that what your life will be like? It says like, Sinje Thamje, what is it called? All sentient beings.
Yeah, all sentient beings, yes.
It doesn't say one particular group, it says all sentient beings. Oh. Nobody's excluded. Everybody's included. Your enemy that you label somebody as your enemy included. Otherwise, how you going to develop universal compassion? Impossible. You can talk. You can talk. Practically, it's impossible. So that's what I'm saying. It's not easy. Easy to say, but developing compassion, and especially universal compassion, bodhicitta, altruistic attitude, you could say in so much in the world, but practical level is not that easy to develop. It requires some reason, some deep, deep reason why I should see like that, why I should see. Now question is, what's the benefit you receive? What kind of benefit you receive? If you can be calm, if somebody is screaming, yelling, if you are calm, what kind of energy that creates? It creates positive energy. More likely that positive energy will reflect on somebody that could, you know, change their attitude. If you just go out of your mind, so then there's 2 persons now going out of their mind. More likely there's not going to be a good one. What do you think? Doesn't matter. If somebody's angry, then top of the you are very angry, then you or others, they both are destroyed, completely destroyed. Can't think straight. You know, think straight. There's nothing to do with the teaching. Buddhism, it's just practical level. So that's why, you know, that, what he say, understand the condition. What is the conditions? What is condition? Condition is every single person in this room. What they are wishing for? They are wishing for happiness. Tibetan, of course. You cannot say, oh, Tibetan, they don't care about happiness. That's a mistake. Tibetan also do want to be happy. You can say, oh, Asian, oh, they don't want to be happy. That's not true. They want to also be happy. Not only one particular group, oh, they want to be happy, they want to live well. other people, they don't deserve. No, everybody deserves the same thing. Oh, every single person in this room, what they want happiness. Do I understand that? That's the condition, that's the conditions. That's what it means, understanding the conditions of others. What they do, they try so hard to overcome from any problems. Are you doing the same thing? Yes, you are doing the same thing. They are doing the same thing. There's no differences. Same. Equal. What happens when you start to cherish someone? What happens if you start to cherish someone? What do you get? It's not about getting some like benefit, you know, like Mother Teresa. In like India, poorest of poor, in Calcutta, the city, huge city, that's where she does her charity work. Who are those people that she's been taking care of? Those people who does not have power, who does not have knowledge, who does not have money. How she see them? She see them as like finding a piece of jewel. That's how, you know, that why I'm talking about Mother Teresa is someone that is not like, oh, it's now like somebody who's been like around, not around, like, you know, this is only in the history. It's not like that. She's somebody who, in our generations, that you know is like live. It's not like thousands of years ago we have very little clue. It's not like that. She's somebody who lives in our generations. We saw, we heard, the millions of hearts have been touched, regardless of Buddhist, non-Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, all kind of religious background. People, you know, a lot of people, this heart has been touched, deeply touched by Mother Teresa's act, her actions. It's solely based on compassion, loving kindness. Oh, so that's why. So knowing what is the condition, conditions like, what's my conditions? I want to be happy. I don't want any problems. When you look around, same thing, same thing. So now question is why? What do you do? So that's based on your happiness, what do you do? It's not like based on idea or theory, philosophy. It's based on your own happiness, what do you do? If somebody is not like, say, if somebody is talking to you all the time, meaning you see that person keep talking to you, what do you do? That person don't give you any time to speak. When you see that person always talking, the same thing again, what do you do? There are two ways you can go. One, you could go out of your mind, scream and yell. Is that something good things to do? Or understand the condition of that person, maybe that knowing that person's conditions probably keep you calm. What do you know? Not about religion, it's not about religion, it's about your happiness. It's not about religion, it's about your happiness, how to protect your peace of mind. You know, how to protect your peace of mind. Oh. What Shantideva says in this book, this is written by Shantideva, like around what century? Amala, this book has been written in 8th centuries, now 21st centuries. This book has been written. Dunga produce same agents. Even though you have wished to overcome from sufferings or problems, Dunga nila ngoba juice. You deliberately go for problems or sufferings. Now just sit back and read and think. Ask yourself questions. Am I going deliberately for suffering or problems? My answer is no, I don't. Then what he's trying to say? That something is going wrong. I have wished to overcome from problems, not like I want to go for problems. That's not my wish. My wish is totally opposite. I wish more happy. I wish more happiness, less problems, less suffering. That's my wish. Now just sit back and think what Shantideva was trying to say. Do not produce same agents. You have wished to overcome from problem, suffering. Do not you deliberately go for problem, sir. What Shanti Das Thakur said, the very technique method that we use to achieve happiness. Something is going wrong between goal and actions. So something is going wrong. As I said, just example. It's just example. So somebody don't give you even short break. Minute you meet that person keep talking. You can't get away. You can have the, you cannot get away. What do you do? Two ways you can go. Just forget about religion. What do you do as a person? Or understanding the condition of that person, what he said, very important. The condition, main one, that person looking for happiness. That person don't want any suffering like you. Maybe there could be conditions to bringing that up, thinking about that, probably will keep you calm. When you calm, you protect your peace of mind. Better for your health. Better for your blood circulation. Yeah. So you, when you test your blood pressures, when you're angry, you test and see the result. It's way up high. When you're calm, that's why they say like you can't try to check your blood pressure when you are exercising. Just talking about physical body, can you imagine that kind of hyper and activity in the mind? What it does? Oh. Sake of your own happiness, nothing to do with religion. What do you do as a person? Not as a believer, as a person, as a mind possessor, what do you do? So we face this challenge every day. So that's why, when you but when you do meditation on eight words, the thought transformations, then you are, not just mumbling the word, but you are thinking. And you are learning how to protect your peace of mind. No matter what kind of circumstance rise, and you try to have positive perceptions, positive mindset, does not mean that you are supporting what they believe, what they say. No, you are supporting your peace of mind. That's what you do. No matter what kind of circumstances arise, if someone is going out of mind, you can still maintain your calm mind, the peaceful mind, because you are thinking. You are thinking very deep, you are thinking. Oh, so that's what meditation means, thinking, okay, thinking, oh. So that's why I was wondering how to develop compassion, what kind of knowledge is required to develop compassion, what we need to understand, why one should develop compassion, why is it so important, and how to develop compassion. Oh, what kind of mindset that destroys compassion, what kind of mindset that destroys compassion? My mindset, not talking about somebody else's mindset, what kind of mindset that destroys compassion or that disturbs me to do meditation on compassion, what kind of mindset? So I've been said this many, many, probably I've been here now almost 20 years. I've been said this many times. It's nothing to do with religions. It's to do with our life. Negative mindset, that's the last thing that we need. Negative mindset. That's the last thing we need. We don't need any of that. Based on tradition, based on culture, based on the politics, based on philosophy, based on that. For your own sake of happiness, that's the obstacles. For your peace of mind, negative mindset is the obstacle. So now, is that true? Analyze. No need to read, just analyze. What happens when you get jealous? Are you happy? Doesn't matter if you're Buddhist, probably you're not going to be happy. It doesn't matter if you're a believer, probably you're not going to be happy. If you're atheist, you are not going to be happy. If you get jealous, if you get angry. No. Need to be practical, more practical. Common sense. So then now, question is, why is it hard to develop compassion? So compassion, as I said, no. What we should do? Meditate, read, think, understand other person's conditions, like maybe focus on relationship that you have with others. If you think, oh, I don't have any relationship, maybe that's a mistake. Maybe that's a relationship. If you can't go live before this, but just think about this life, so how the human started, how human began, human being began, how human started. There should be a first one, husband and wife, right? Man and woman. That's how the human being began. At that time, there's no Asian, there's no European, there's no, not, there's like human. How the human, think about human evolutions. So now they are modern day, you know, so they, you pay something, they, what do you call that?
DNA.
They tells you how many lifetime?
Genetics.
How many life, it tells you.
Where you come from.
Yeah. Then she was, oh, I'm shocked. According to Buddhism, that's not shock. It's not shock. There's nothing to be shocked. So now, you know, something you can see, because in a very, like, we become very visual. So now, through scientific research or the experiment, that tells you what kind of DNA you possess.
DNA.
So that now change your perceptions about other race, doesn't it? So now that indicates there's connections. That connection's been there, like, but we don't think. Oh. Maybe that's the way to develop compassion, or maybe there's connections. Even though we look different, doesn't mean there's no connection. In Buddhism, that connection is very deep. That connection is almost like, you know, like mother and child. Like that kind of connection. It's not like just friend, hi-bye. Not just that kind of relationship. It's just very deep. So that's why now we say all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. Why you say that? Because you understood there's connection, deep connections. Maybe there's the one way to develop compassions. Compassion. You know? So then what other way to develop compassions? You know, what other ways? You know, we need to think about what other ways. Maybe like yeah, so now before you know, I'm Tibetan. I'm Tibetan. I have nothing to do with American, nothing to do with the Western. Nothing. So when you do this, what do you call?
DNA.
So then they tell, oh, you have like come from, I don't know. So what they say is maybe Native American or whatever. So now you feel connected. You feel connections. Oh. Now, oh, my like, my parent, who knows, like, and how much we remember, like, you remember your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, then how many lives you remember, how many generations you remember? 3, 4, 5? The most. 8? The most. Huh? 3, 4, that's the most? So does it mean there's no... Does not mean that, you know, after that it's how is it? After that, you can't say after that it doesn't exist. It has to be exist because they, you are where you are. This great parent come from. It's come from somewhere. You can't say, oh, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. No, then like the most you could remember 4. Maybe there are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All of that you cannot say. Oh, you cannot deny that, right? So now you go above, what happens? There is connections. So then, you know, this four images of practice does make sense. It's nothing to do with religion. May all sentient beings. Does make sense. There's connections. Maybe there's one way to develop compassion based on these connections, deep connections. That's exactly how, according to Tibetan Buddhism, that's the kind of knowledge you use to utilize or actualize, you know, the compassion, how to develop compassion. So then your perception changes when you look someone else. Doesn't matter if it looks like you or no. You know through your meditation, daily meditation, you know that person is looking for happiness. Like same like you, no differences. If that person is saying something negative, screaming, yelling, you don't have to be there. You can go somewhere else. Why you stick? Why you stick around? If that's possible, you can go somewhere else. Or you just stick there, maybe, if you want to stick there, so better to develop some positive thoughts. It's not a good way to stick there with angry mind. It's more likely it's not going to be a good one. No. Sake of your own peace of mind, that's all. Sake of your own peace of mind, that's all. Sake of your own peace of mind. What are the obstacles? Negative set of mind, any negative set of mind will destroy your peace of mind. Do we know that clearly? Now the question is how to prevent, based on practically how to prevent. So that's for your own sake of happiness, your own sake of your own happiness. Either you are watching news, when you tune up, it's like just piece of box. When you tune up, it's just piece of black box that you can't see anything. When you tune on, you see all kind of things. And sitting there and with angry mind, is that good for your health? For your mental happiness or physical happiness? If not, so then, you know, avoid means not to watch. You have choice to watch or not to watch. No, I don't watch news. These days, I don't watch news. So, you know, So anyway, it's all about protecting your peace of mind and how to increase your peace of mind. This all boils down on your mind, your own happiness, your happiness. So if you want to be really happy, if you're serious about your happiness, what we need to do as a human, what you need to do is you need to be concerned about negative mindset. That's what you need to worry about. No, so that's what you need to worry about, your own negative mindset. So then how to prevent them, how to stop them, based on meditating on the connection that you have with the other sentient beings, and, you know, understanding the condition of other sentient beings. So maybe, you know, focus on like some kind of mantras. That's the best thing to do. What do you think? That's my opinion. Otherwise, we become like walking time bomb. Walking time bomb. Somebody says something, we just explode. So that's why I'm not like advertising myself here, but, you know, I do recite 8 verses thought transformation every single day. I recite by heart every single day. And like once a blue moon, I reflect on the meaning. But usually I just mumble the word. Sometimes I wonder, did I finish? Yeah, I already finished. Once a while, then I think about the meaning, and it feels good. It feels good. So then when I come out of that, you know, is my perception change when I look around. Even though not see them as like precious jewel, but still aware, you know, that we all are in the same boat, doing the same thing. What is my responsibility is to protect my peace of mind. That's my responsibility. Rather than worrying about making somebody happy. That's not easy thing to do. At least I can protect my peace of mind. That's something I can do. if I have interest to do, I can do. I'm fully capable to do. I can do. Rather than just worrying about making everybody happy, but that's more likely not going to happen. What do you think? Making everybody happy. You think it's possible? That's hard to do. I think even though you are enlightened, somebody's going to be unhappy. You know? Why? Because we have different thinking. We have different interests. We have different philosophy. We have different ideas. That's why. That's why it's hard to make every single person happy. It's not easy. If you learn how to protect your peace of mind, and if you like work with your own mind, so that maybe will attract more people towards you. You know? Maybe that's what we do. But making every single person happy, that is impossible. Sorry to say, impossible. The reason Shanti Deva mentioned is because different idea, different interests, different thinking, that's why. You know, think about the history, Dr. Martin Luther King, somebody's not happy with Dr. Martin Luther King. Mahatma Gandhi, somebody's not happy. Oh. Mother Teresa, some people, they are not happy with her. No matter how many great people look in the history, somebody's not happy. Oh. That clearly indicates you can't make every single person happy because of different mindset, different theory, different idea, different opinion, that's why. But what you can do, you can protect your peace of mind. That's what you can do. Then what we should do if we are looking for happiness in our life, that's what we should do. Now, happiness doesn't mean like, you know, jumping up and down, excitement, not that kind of happiness. Deep down, always feel good, always feel good. So that's the great accomplishment. Great accomplishment that you have reason to be feel very good because you accomplished something great. No? So something great. So then that applies to meditations when you meditate. And after when you've done the meditation, then you feel like you accomplished something. Then that makes you happy. In mundane level, when you finish something, you feel good. Then we accomplish something. The same in the spiritual field, the same thing. No, that's why people have daily practice. It's not like when the weather is nice, you know, then completely forgot about practice. When the weather is kind of foggy, raining, so then you remember practice. That's not how you practice. Practice means thinking about your mind. Read, you know, in order to keep this life healthy, easygoing, flexible, balance, that requires a lot of thinking. If you don't think, nothing will happen. It requires a lot of thinking. So then, you know, you learn, slowly, you learn how not to react right away. Then you learn how to take your time, sit back, think, and look from the bigger picture. Oh, then maybe there's a way to save your peace of mind. Otherwise, we tend to just focus on something negative. We just tend to focus on something negative. It is complicated. That's why we need to look, we need to sit back, take a breath, and look at from the bigger picture. It is complicated. What do you think? It is complicated. You know, it's not easy, it's complicated. Oh, it's complicated. So then, of course, you know, when you think about from the karma point of view, it's more complicated. So how much you know about that other consciousness functioning totally based on their karma, how much you know about their karma? Zero. Probably zero. Now if you're thinking to control, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Oh, not easy. Oh. Something that practical level you can control, you can do something with your mind. You can do. But as you said, you know, like sometimes it's just listening, no need to advise anything, just listen. That helps. There's so many different methods. Sometimes probably no need to say anything, just listen. Oh. Maybe saying many things, not necessarily, doesn't guarantee it will change. Saying many things doesn't guarantee it will change the situation. It may make situation worse. Oh, having so many opinions, maybe sometimes it's better to not have any opinions. It's better than having opinions. Huh? Not having opinion sometimes is better than having opinions. Oh. No. Maybe it's not, you know, maybe like as a reacting on every single desire that arises, probably that's not a smart thing to do. Maybe sometimes probably not reacting on desire, probably that's better than reacting on desire. So many things have been said. You know, scratching, scab. Feels good, right? But not having scab is better. But I did not make this up, it's already been said. You know, so then say, you are so uncomfortable, you are so uncomfortable, sorry, because the main point is to talk about the mantra. Sorry, frog and the cat. So there's the whole intention of talk about the compassion mantra, maybe next Sunday. You are so uncomfortable, so unhappy, because your head is very tight. Your head is very tight. But you keep changing your shoes. Doesn't help. Are we doing the same thing? Because you are so uncomfortable, because head is too tight, because we keep changing shorts. Doesn't help. Maybe a person who steals your possessions went to the jungle and you are looking in the open field. Maybe you are looking in the wrong direction. You will never find. So, anyway, all my friends, including myself, every day think. Need to require a lot of thinking. If you start to think about yourself, if you start to think something bad about yourself, this requires counter-thinking. Counter-thinking. How to overcome from that? Counter-thinking. Oh, I did this, I did that yesterday, I did this, I did that, so that ruined. This present moment is completely been ruined thinking about something that happened yesterday. Is that really nice, a wonderful thing to do? So every day, whether you're sitting like this on your meditation cushion, whether you're walking, cleaning, if you're thinking, that's the wonderful meditation. If you're thinking, all that you're thinking, very good. You know, that's how you liberate. That's how you liberate. That's how you liberate by thinking. That's how you liberate yourself from the ocean of suffering. By thinking, you liberate yourself. That's how you liberate. No, not by just, you know, like nothing. If you got to meditation means thinking, then making thinking, then make familiar with certain thinking, make familiar with certain thinkings, you know, that keeps your mind calm and happy. So otherwise, you know, every day is challenge. Every day is challenge, unless you are liberated. If you are liberated, so that's good. Otherwise, every day. How many thoughts rise every single day? Minute you wake up, or thought about food, that's not good or bad, it's just neutral. Thinking about coffee, thinking about muffin, that's nothing, it's not positive, it's not negative, it's just thought. They're thinking about something, come down to the kitchen, they're seeing, your friend told you last night he or she's going to clean all the dishes. When you come down in the kitchen, dishes have not been done. There are two ways you can go. Your choice, what do you do? You could just scream and call his name or her name and advise say all kinds of things, not being ethical, what you said last night, blah, 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 blah. No. Meanwhile, that person is not happy, and you are not happy, that happy atmosphere is completely disappeared. What do you do? In that situation, what do you do? Just forget about religion. As a person, what do you do? You decide. I'm not going to say anything. You decide. So, your choice, what do you do? One day it happens, next day it happens the same thing, what do you do? It doesn't get better, maybe the next day doing the same thing, what do you do? My peace of mind, how to protect, that's the most important things. If you believe that's the most important things, if that's your goal, if that's your dream, if that's your goal, then based on that, so you know what to do. Not as a Buddhist, as a religious person, as a human, what do you do? So that's what I'm saying. Every single day face challenge. Every single day challenge, you know. So things doesn't go the way we think. Things doesn't go exactly the way we think every day. Does that sound familiar? So see, that's a challenge. You could grow, you could rise, shine, or you could just be miserable. Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, you have certain ideas how things should look in your house, neat and everything needs to be clean. One person show up, it's totally opposite, kind of messy, and put things everywhere. What do you do? If that person is staying here 1 month, what do you do? You just wonder, what do you do? That's a challenge, you know, what do you do? Either you just give up, I don't care. If they put glass on, like under the table, or maybe top of the refrigerator, maybe like under the floor, like in the way, near where you put your books, near there. Or you can just give up. Well, I don't care. If somebody is throwing glass on my head, so then I have to be a little more mindful. You know, long as that they are not doing that, putting glass on my head. So that's what do you do? Yeah, so like, so then that person left. Now everything is in your way. Are you happy? Not, probably not. Something else comes up. Something else comes up. Now all the things in order, everything there where you want them to be. Are you happy now? No. They are still unhappy. It's all thinking. That's what I'm saying. Every day, you, me, unfortunately, every day is a challenge, so we need to deal with that, you know, with the wisdom, with the wisdoms. So with wisdom we need to deal and learn slowly, slowly, day by day, slowly, slowly, day by day, how to protect your peace of mind and maintain that your peace of mind, either through meditation, through saying prayers or whatever. So it's very important to maintain that, so then everybody will be happier. So there's something that you can do, you are fully capable to do. It's your mind. You can control. It's your mind. You can control. So, and next Sunday, sorry, now time is way over. So, maybe next Sunday, talk about the mantra. So, thank you. Maybe next Sunday we'll talk about the mantra. And thank you very much, each and every one of you who contributed. So, the next, maybe Sunday, so we'll talk about the six-syllable mantra. So not just that, then learn how to do meditation on that, using a syllable as a guide or instructions to guide us into the meditation. Meditation into compassion, okay? So that's my idea this morning, but it doesn't happen, but it's okay. It's okay.
So turn to page 191 in the Go Prayer Book. Recite the praises to the 21 Taras, according
to the advice of Lama Zopa Rinpoche to remove obstacles to the light of the path retreat. From your sublime abode at the Potala, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your tenants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara, you who rescue all who are destitute. To you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. Oh, my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage, Tara, swift heroic, our sight lighting instantaneous. Homage, she whose faith combines a hundred autumn moons at fullest, blazing with bright rays resplendent as a thousand star collection. Homage, golden blue and lotus, waterborne and hand adorned, weaving every commasterity, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tathagatas, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire, direction, and space, trampling with your feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All-Lord, Shakaani Bama Maru, honored by the host of spirits, cultures or Sandhavas Yakshas. Homage, with her trident sound, destroying post-magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out right and blazing in a raging fireplace. Homage to the very dread, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies. Homage at the heart her finger, so adorn her with three jewels. Light and masses all excited, all directions fields adorn her. Homage, she so joyous, radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's David. Homage, she able to summon all her guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with their home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorned with crescent, moon on owner must shine. Amitabha in her hair now, sending out much light eternal. Homage, she with wreath ablaze life, eon ending fire abiding. Righteous left that choice around you, truth of enemies destroying. Homage, she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she just conquered. Homage at the virtuous peaceful, she whose field is peace nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder, priestess whom in knowledge mantra, orange mud of the ten letters. Homage to the received letter of the shapeless syllable whom by the stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya. Homage holding in her hand the hermit moon of Deva Lake form, which by spoken Tara MP, totally dispelling poise. Homage, she whom God and their king and the king are us to honor. Armored in our joyful splendor, she dispels their dreams and conflicts. Homage, she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with twice our unto Tare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage, full of liberation, powered by the set of three natures, Jesus is the spirit, Yakshas, and raised corpus supreme today. These praises with the Guru mantras and prostrations of Sar 21. Turn to page 190 for the prayer of the benefits. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering at dawn upon waking and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitude of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poison, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled and all obstacles pacified. Now turn to page 246 and 247 and we'll read the dedication from the book that Geshe-la alluded to, Master Shanti Deva's Bodhi Karyavatara.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound to May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other for as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain. Until then, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Then 244 and 245 for the short, long life prayers. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience to receive the name Avatare, the one with great decision to spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhap on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And seven green tar mantras for Geshe and Geshe Sangpo's long, healthy, happy life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend. Floor needs to look. Oh yeah.
So after these amazing teachings today, I was just thinking, sitting there, try not to get choked up, you know how easy that happens for me, that we have had 20 years of learning how to have compassion, and we've had 20 years of learning every single solitary thing we need to get enlightened right here in this Kampa. So why don't we just celebrate that next Saturday at 4 o'clock and celebrate Geshe-la teaching us for 20 years. So we're all extremely grateful. So it should be a wonderful party, so please come. Also, if anyone has noticed, in the backyard there is the lack of something. Did anybody notice this morning? The shed is gone. And I don't know if anybody, maybe Tom, if anybody, yeah, a few people in the room have even, I think they're all sleeping in. It was definitely commando destructo, so they were excited. So that's just amazing that that's finished. There's a newcomer Q&A today. Miranda's going to do that. That's cool. It just takes a few minutes, so that'll be here at 12. And then the Sunday tea is happening as well, so there's snacks, goodies, and some baked goods. I know someone who bakes something out in the lobby. So Karen and Elise have a message.
Okay, so I'm Karen Beasley. If you don't know me, I've only been coming here for about a year, so if you haven't met me, this is who I am. I don't know much about what's going on yet. I'm still learning. So, but what I've been given to announce is a holy day, that you can sponsor a holy day, that we have holy days, and Kadampa Center has special events on the Tibetan holy days that are related to the Buddha. And according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, citing the holy text, he says, karmic actions are multiplied by 100 million times. So this is a great day to watch our speech and our actions and our thoughts. And if you sponsor this day, this is a special way that you can give to the center. And it creates the causes of vast generosity multiplied by 100 million times. So it's a good time to do that. You can sponsor on behalf of a beloved one. You can sponsor on behalf of a friend in need or for all sentient beings. So the holy day that we have coming up is on August 4th. It's Chokor Duchen is the way I understand that's pronounced. It's Buddha's first teaching, a holy day that you can sponsor for $125. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to the website. You can speak with Donna, email Donna, or speak with Jill about that as well. So thank you for your generosity.
I'm Elise from Outreach, and first I want to thank you for your generosity bringing so many eyeglasses have been donated. We have two more Sundays that we'll be collecting used prescription eyeglasses or reading glasses, and they will go to benefit those who cannot afford eyeglasses at a free healthcare day in October. And next Sunday, the 4th, an opportunity to really increase your blessings and good things. There's an interfaith prayer service next Sunday afternoon, the 4th, at 3 o'clock. It's going to be held at the Islamic Association of Raleigh. Great opportunity to meet with people of other religions and cultures to talk about a theme of inspiration and courage. It's really a wonderful opportunity to encounter ideas and thoughts and people that are outside of your usual circle, and you will find you're more alike than anything. Thank you.
And last but not least, Karen referred to next Sunday being a holy day, and I just wanted to let you know what our events around that being a holy day are. At 5:45 in the morning, we will have 8 Mahayana precepts. We will do that if there is somebody who wants to take them for the first time. If you're interested in taking them for the first time, it is necessary to take that with a qualified master. So you need to register online, and you can find the information about how to do that. If nobody registers, then the deadline for that is Wednesday, then we will do precepts at home. So I don't want anyone showing up at 5:45 and there's nobody here. So, I'll send an email out if we are doing it at home. Venerable Lama in the afternoon will be doing an animal blessing and liberation. This is an opportunity to, again, practice compassion toward other beings that don't look to be at all like us but are like us in wanting happiness. And if you have animals that are part of your family and you want to bring them to get blessed and circumambulate the stupa, then you are welcome to do so.